Our scripture this morning is found in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. So I'm starting with verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As people that are living the kingdom of God, we don't separate ourselves from the secular world. We don't move out of the neighborhood into Christian enclaves that are separate from everyone else and are apart from the world. Yes, there are monks and there are those that are called to do that kind of work, but as a whole, we don't all separate ourselves from the world. We actually rebuild our lives and this area around us in the middle of the rubble and brokenness that is all around us and within us. And in so doing, we join God's heart to redeem all of humanity and all of creation. In a holistic redemption that reaches every aspect of our lives and of the world. So, God is in the world, recreating the world and reconciling the world to himself. That's what God is about. Jesus' redeeming death and resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit wasn't done just to get us to heaven. It was done to bring heaven to earth. In the Lord's Prayer, we read the words, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That God's will would be done here. That the Spirit would be evident here. It is done so that we could live every mundane and every ordinary moment in the eternal now. Jesus' death and resurrection means that we can fully participate in the resources of the eternal now. That all resources, all power, and the fullness of God are available to us now in this moment. Everything for all of history, all of the past, all of the future, all of who God is present to us today in this moment. The Holy Spirit, living Christ, is at work within us and through us to refigure the broken world and its people to the very purpose for which they were created and brought into being in the first place. So that which was lost is being restored to them as they return to their intended purpose. Now the truth is that even though the kingdom of God is everywhere and is available to all people at all times, many people don't live connected to the kingdom of God. They are completely unaware of its existence. They benefit from the kingdom of God only tangentially. And that's why it's so important that we live out the kingdom of God. The world is desperate for peace, for freedom, for hope, for life, and for way forward in a broken world. Every time we live out the kingdom callings and values, we make the kingdom of God visible. For people caught in conflict and war, and see it as the only option for them and for their country. Living out our calling as peacemakers is gift. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to enact peace in the middle of all of this strife. But the truth is that we can't do it by sitting on the sidelines and condemning the methods of others. Well, you shouldn't do that. Don't you know that's wrong? which is often what we do. We get caught up in criticizing others rather than taking our place. The world desperately needs peacemakers to take their place in society, to stand up and do what they're called to do, to be leading with a listening ear, listening to God while engaging the questions. How do we do this? How do we find way forward in our country today with this situation? Not some generic answer. Generic answers never serve anyone well. But how do we take this particular unique situation, and what is way forward? How can we respond to this? And in doing that, we enact Jubilee and we live out the kingdom of God. We model that every time that we are peacemakers, whether it be in our homes or in our workplaces or just within our neighborhoods or anywhere that we find ourselves, we model what it is to be peacemakers and to live out the kingdom of God to those around us. One of the things that I think is really true, and I think that often we as a church get caught up in this, and that is that we don't know how to have healthy disagreements. We tend to divide, judge, and divide. You should not. And we pull apart into more and more homogeneous kinds of groupings that separate ourselves. What we need to learn how to do is learn how to grab each other by the hand and, I don't understand. I don't know how to do this, but I'm committed to staying in relationship and figuring it out how to work that through. Without necessarily giving up what I have come to believe is important or true or whatever. But we need to have healthy disagreements and conversations and to learn how to work things through. That's just a beginning for learning how to do that on a global level. As we begin to be peacemakers, peacemakers that impact all of society, not just our own little kind of microcosm in which we live, but everywhere. For people in jail, whether they're guilty or innocent, they find themselves trapped in a system that perpetuates more crimes and takes away freedom. And they yearn for real freedom, the freedom that we know within the kingdom of God. So living into our calling to set the captive free, we enact Jubilee and the kingdom of God. So that kind of work takes place on many levels in a multitude of ways. Every time that we're at work within the system to bring about change to restorative justice, we make evident the kingdom of God. When we teach nonviolent communication and ways to work things through without just fighting, resolving your differences by brute force. Every time we work to make others aware of the problems of mass incarceration, when we spend time with a prisoner one-on-one, and get to know them and their situation and find out what's going on in their lives. And maybe we only help identify one small step, but that one small step can be an important next step in their journey. For people trapped in poverty that see no way out of it and every hope has been crushed, they've learned to settle for a handout, however meager and inadequate that is. They yearn for a way out of poverty so that they can be free of oppression. And living into our calling to bring good news to the poor, we enact jubilee and kingdom. Again, it happens in a multitude of ways. From working at a food bank or soup kitchen to working to change laws. From employing the homeless to working to create livable and affordable housing. From microloans to providing child care. And the list goes on as ways that we work to make the kingdom of God evident around us and to set the poor free. In all those ways and more, we bring jubilee and the kingdom of God into our world in visible ways. It matters and it changes things. We do it with every prayer, every act of kindness, and every time that we practice goodness. We do it when we work to change our world. We do it by living authentically as followers of Jesus every day. Listening, how would you have me be in this moment, in this situation? How can I bring the light of Christ into this particular moment? It isn't just some kind of generic kind of, yeah, well, there's the light of Christ kind of around and oh well, and I go on my way. It is, no, Jesus, how can I bring the light of Christ into this moment, this situation, whatever it is that is in front of me? Sometimes we pray for things at a distance, like praying for Haiti, like I did this morning. But most of our work is in front of us. Most of our work is lived out in our daily lives, wherever we find ourselves. And as we live authentically as followers of Christ and work to change our world, we are making the kingdom of God evident to people who can't see it any other way, who don't have eyes to see for themselves, and we begin to make it evident to them. 1 Corinthians 12:7 has a powerful message, both in the Message Bible and in the New Revised Standard. In the Message Bible, in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, "Each person is given something to do that shows who God is." I love that. We're all given something to do that shows who God is. Not just, okay, you got your job, and go on. But in those, they show who God is and make God's actions evident to people around them. It goes on to say, everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. So God is at work through all of us. In the New Revised Standard, and in more traditional translations, it says something like this: to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit that is in each one of us isn't just for my own private enjoyment. Oh, isn't that nice? I get the Spirit. See you later. But the Spirit is given to us for the common good, for the collective good, for the good of the world, for the good of everyone around us. Yes, for the good of those of us here in the church, but also for the good of everyone everywhere. As churches, we enjoy a tax benefit because we're expected to be about doing something for the common good of our communities, working together for on behalf of others. And that's a good thing. This is how the Spirit works within us to make Jubilee and the kingdom of God evident and helpful. It not only shows who God is, but it's for the common good. The common good is our work together. It's what we must do. So do we put our energy into that which is self-serving or simply serves within the church? Or does our energy, our spirit work, impact the common good beyond us and outside of us? Because we are given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I'm so grateful for a congregation that gets that and gets the importance of accompanying each other as we go about our work and about our callings. And I look around us and I see so many ways that we're active at work in our world, working for the common good, doing a variety of things, whether it be from Patty, who's working with Peace Through Pieces, to Alice, who has a ministry with people that come and try to figure out how to do life together, to Chandra, who works with homeless people and at the Union Gospel Mission, to Cecily, who works with Ingersoll and is committed to working with people that, families that are caught up in transgender issues, to Dove, who is working for peace around the world and has a real call to do something for peace. To Mark, who mentors students and walks alongside them and connects them up with people. He's a great person to plug people into others that can be a mentor and can help show them ways to do things and makes the connections. Becky, who just accompanies people in the hospital and when they're going through hard times and trying to figure out what end is up and they don't know what's going. And then she finds out that she's an accompanier in other ways because that spills over into spiritual lives. To Belinda, who takes care of kids, children, and just comes alongside and has a real heart for taking care of kids. And sometimes she has a, well, you know, the truth is all of us sometimes, you know, even me, why do I have to preach another sermon? So it is. Sometimes there are days when it's just plain difficult to do what we know we're called to do. But putting our effort into that this day is difficult. So we just give that to God and say, today, God, I'm not really in the mood to do what you've called me to do. I would just as soon go over there and be done with it. And yet God gives us the grace to move forward. So around all of us, I just see a community that is committed to doing this work for the common good and how important that is. And in each one, I could go on and name something about every one of us that's here. But I think it's so important for us to realize that that's what makes the kingdom of God evident to people around us. And there's power in that. The power of God at work through us. And we most readily access it when we say, God, how can I be your light in this situation? What is mine to do today? I cannot do every good thing that was out there. You know, I've tried and that didn't work. I cannot do every good thing. So what is mine in this moment today? And it may seem pretty small and insignificant. We have no idea the kind of impact it makes in the lives of others. We simply are to be faithful to that which God gives us to do today. We've been given the work of reconciliation in our world. It is our collective work to enact reconciliation in the world. We live in the midst of a broken world. And it's our collective work to live out reconciliation and transformation for the common good. To bring about the transformation of the world as we are faithful to our callings. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven isn't about going to heaven someday. It's about bringing heaven to earth. It's about living out the transforming kingdom of God here. The Holy Spirit, living Christ, is at work through us to refigure the broken world and its people. And that's a huge gift. Huge. I'm going to close by reading the same scripture that I opened with this morning. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let us listen in open worship as we wait in the presence of the living God.